Hare Krishna. We are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 14, beginning with, let's see, we have here 62. I read the text 59 and 6. Well, let's see. In any case, 62. We're going to read together. Okay. Text 59. Hearing this supposed curse by Lord Chaitanya, the girls, considering that he might know something uncommon or be empowered by the demigods, were afraid that his curse may be effective. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is causing trouble for the young girls. They are going to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his friend, goes to the Ganga. And then the girls comes also to make some worship there. And he's very young now. He's very young, so he's innocent. He's innocent, but he causes the trouble. So he takes the sandalwood pulp and puts it on his own body and the flowers and offerings. And then the girls opposes. But then he says, well, he says, if you worship me, you will get a good fortune. You will get a good husband. But then some complain. And then he says, you will have an old husband with many wives. It's okay. So now they're considering. Well, something like that. Fled. Okay. The girls fled. Some girls fled. But then, okay. Let's see what happens. Today's verses. So hearing this supposed curse by Lord Chaitanya, the girls, considering that he might know something uncommon or be empowered by demigods, were afraid that his curse might be effective. Okay, who knows? Text 60. Let's see. Bengali is not my native language, okay, so bear with me. The girls then brought the offerings before the Lord, who ate them all and blessed the girls to their satisfaction. When this cunning behavior of the Lord with the girls became known to the people in general, it did not create misunderstanding among them. Rather, they enjoyed happiness in these dealings. So that's Lord Chaitanya was dear. Lord Krishna was dear to everyone. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dear to everyone as a child. And so they took it that way. Let's see here. And then with 62. Hare Krishna. Translation. One day a girl of the name Lakshmi, the daughter of Vallabhacharya, came to the bank of the Ganges to take bath in the river and worship the demigods. Purport. According to the Gaura Ganudesa Deepika, Lakshmi was formerly Janaki, the wife of Lord Ramachandra, and Rukmini, the wife of Lord Krishna in Dwarka. The same goddess of fortune descended as Lakshmi to become the wife of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. End purport. Short purports here. Omaganati Mirandasya Ganagana Salakya Shakshur Miritam Yanatasme Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Praya Krishna Pristaya Batale Shri Mata Bhakti Vedanta Svantanamana Namaste Sarasvata Devi Guravani Pracharne Nirvise Sasanyavari Paskatyari Satari. Okay, the verses. Let's see. 59. Hearing this supposed curse. Okay, I'll just read the translations. Hearing this supposed curse by Lord Chaitanya, the girls, considering that he might know something uncommon or be empowered by demigods, were afraid that his curse might be effective. The girls then brought the offering before the Lord, who ate them all and blessed the girls to their satisfaction. When this cunning behavior of the Lord with the girls became known to the people in general, it did not create misunderstanding among them. Rather, they enjoyed happiness in these dealings. One day, a girl of the name Lakshmi, the daughter of Vallabhacharya, came to the bank of the Ganges to take bath in the river and worship the demigods. So this Vallabhacharya here, I'm not sure about identity. We know that there's Vallabhacharya who meets Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, but it doesn't really connect here to me. But maybe someone knows. It's not a fact. But there's Vallabhacharya, so some qualified acharya scholar, and he has his daughter, and it seems like, well, maybe still today in India, the meeting place is by the bank of the Ganges. Or you go, or the ladies meet by the well. Of course, the well, there's for drinking water, we learn, there's for drinking water, for washing clothes, and for different purpose, different wells. But then it's, Prabhupada said, it like by going to the Ganges, by going to the lake, there you get water for all purposes at one time. So in that way, devotional service is like that. That you may go and worship the different demigods to get various needs fulfilled. But by the one stroke, by the one action of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you fulfill, as I say, all requirements. Of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very kind because he introduced the chanting of the holy name of the Lord on a grand scale, or re-emphasized it. I mean, it's there in the Bhagavatam Kirtanan thing, but re-emphasized and gave us a direction, a strong direction, if you say like that, in this age of Kali, what way to go. And also, as I said, in the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam, this age of Kali is full of faults. So don't be proud if you can find faults. Some, you know, yeah. We're good at pointing fingers. Remember, the three fingers point at ourselves. So we also, in that sense, full of faults. So there's plenty of faults, and we can find faults everywhere. But still, there's one good quality, and that is the chanting. By chanting the holy name, we can attain the perfection of human life and attain the benefit that was gained in previous yugas by the various activities. In the Satya Yuga, there was meditation, Treta Yuga, sacrifice, Dwapara Yuga, deity worship, and worship of the Lord's lotus feet stated. And then now in this Kali Yuga, the process is chanting the holy name. And just by the one stroke of chanting the holy name, we, so to say, fulfill, we gain the benefits of the previous ages. It's a spiritual practice. We can say some of the spiritual practice of the previous ages are still present in the modern time. Well, if we do some meditation, Gayatri mantra, things like that. Because we can say the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, japa, is also meditation. Could be, should be. When we are making kirtan together, we can say that's a nice meditation. We can't say there's a bad kirtan. Well, that's a good kirtan. Then, you know, our mind is captured and we sing with, and sometimes maybe it's not so good, but still it's Krishna's name, so we try to sing. So then we can say, in one sense, that's meditation. Absorption in the name of the Lord, in the absorption in the Lord, in the form of the name of the Lord. And then first as nam, first as a name, realization or contact with the name, say name, form. Then is the form of the Lord. We remember the name. We remember the form, qualities. And then the form, okay, Krishna looks beautiful. Does he? Yes, he does. Because my father, in any case, my father, he liked Krishna also. Had some comment. He thought he should look more masculine. Krishna's form is quite soft in a way, but said the softness is deceiving because he may be, you know, not so. He's not a bodybuilder, thanks Krishna. but he is most powerful when it needs. He is in limited strength. Okay, form. So that's a form. Then qualities. So Krishna's qualities. I mean, that is something to contemplate, Krishna's quality. Maybe we think Krishna's kindness, mercy, whatever, forgiveness, and his strength, his fame, his, okay, qualities and his pastimes. And then finally we have these pastimes where it's also meditating. As a culmination of the progression of our meditation, we get to the pastimes of the Lord. So here, because now we have the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he is, in one sense, this pastime, I mean, it's a little bit of reflection of the pastime that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Krishna, had, where we know Krishna, well, these pastimes. The coward girls there, okay, a little bit like these girls, they were going to the river during the Kartik period to worship goddess Katyayani in order to have good husbands. If you want good husbands, you have to worship. Yeah, of course, Krishna said, hey, why? Okay, what did he do? Okay, no, he was really rude with them. He took their, when they were in the water bathing, he took the clothes and then he put it in a tree and he sat in the tree and had them come up and each one pay their obeisances and ask for the clothes, embarrassed them like anything. But actually, he fulfilled their desires because it is this way they, so to say, became Krishna's wives, because you're only supposed to be, so to say, seen in that way in front of your husband. So that way Krishna tricked. Well, of course, so they, like the girls, feel a little bit complaining as in previous, whatever, Saturdays, maybe been reading. So in the same way the girls in that time, they also complain. And they say that, you know, Krishna, we're going to tell to Kamsa what you're doing. But of course, actually, they were very happy that Krishna in this way were, whatever, reciprocating their desire with them, their desire. Okay, so there we have like a little bit parallel pastimes appearing in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. So with the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, I know it's the 14th chapter is the childhood pastimes. Of course, then, that's the girls, they're taking the bath, and they're going to the Ganges. Now, when we are in Mayapur, and when the weather is nice enough, but mostly it is, but when I was there last time, now in the February, maybe it was a little bit cool. Of course, sometimes the Ganges at Mayapur, in the present day, sometimes it's more inviting, the beach there, and sometimes it's less inviting, because it's not a stagnant. The Ganga is not a stagnant factor, but is a moving entity. she is moving back and forth, and you don't know. When I first came there, 75, we had to walk almost a kilometer to get to the Ganga. Now it's very close, fairly close by. Okay, so the Ganga, the point is there with the Ganga is that it's a nice meeting place. Still today, you come to take a bath and then there's other devotees and you can sit down there and chant your japa or talk with someone like that. So that's a natural meeting point to be social or spiritual or whatever you want to be. So that we have here, the girls are coming down to the Ganga to take a bath, do the worship, and in that way, fulfill the needs of their life. We can say fulfill the needs of their life. Now, One thing, they're Krishna fulfilling the desires, because he fulfilled the desires of the cowgirls in Vrindavan, and in one way here he's maybe fulfilling the desire, he's giving a blessing. Okay. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in one sense we can say he's fulfilling the desire, but he's more cultured as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Cultured, can say. So that's fulfilling desires. So that is Krishna. He fulfills the desires of the devotees. So we have to watch out what we are desiring. Or of course, maybe we can say just simply, well, Krishna just fulfills your desires. So whatever we want, there's no problem. Krishna can give it. But of course, Krishna is so kind. He's so kind that with the devotees, he may or may not fulfill your desires, it said. If it's not good for your spiritual progress, he may not fulfill it, at least not at the present, or maybe not exactly in the way we thought. And maybe that's good, because our way of thinking is one thing. So Krishna, there's the desire. But actually Krishna, as Paramatma in the heart of all living entities, fulfills everyone's desires. Without the sanction of the Lord, nothing can happen. So of course the people say, yes, believe in yourself. You know, I'm going to create my own future. Well, that's possible by the mercy of the Lord. But actually the Lord is behind. And seemingly being self-reliant and able to whatever fulfill your own desire, or in a modern way being progressive and, you know, get what you want. But actually you get what you don't, not by your own power. It's ultimately by Krishna's mercy. Forever, even the demons, the meat eaters, whatever. So now, but the devotees, Krishna fulfills their desires, but he may do it in a different way. Of course, the devotees also, we expect to have different kind of desires. Of course, we may be confronted with so many kind of desires coming from the depths of our heart or our subconscious level. There was someone asking about that yesterday to me. I know what to do. Yes, that's a good question. But somewhere there is a desire to know Krishna or to serve Krishna or to love Krishna. So if there's just a little bit of a desire, just like Putana, what a witch. She was a real witch. Don't call ladies witches, because they're really good. Just look at Putana. She was too much, to say the least. But still, now someone, Prabhu, or Mataji, or whatever devotee, maybe we think, you know, what kind of devotee is that? Maybe we think, well, but still, Putana, in a previous life, as a sister of Bali Maharaj, came to see Vamandev. When he came, approached Bali Maharaj for charity, when Bali Maharaj was making his sacrifice, and he coming at the right time to ask charity. And you know that, but in any case, we go through here. So then everyone was amazed or so attracted. This beautiful young boy or dwarf, small Brahmin boy coming. They were so, how beautiful, how attractive. He's shining like the sun. He's not just shining like the sun. He's shining, he's attracting. So then she was at that time in that life, she was a sister of Bali Maharaj. Okay, what did I say? Sister of Ratnamala was her name. Thank you. Okay, Ratnamala. She was a sister of Bali Maharaj, and she became so attracted to this, or her motherly feelings, because there's a little boy so beautiful coming, and she just melts. Her motherly heart melts, even though being of the demons, her heart melts. Die, see, one at a time. Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Sisi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Then Vamadev, he fulfills the desires, okay? And then Bali Maharaj also, he's also attracted. So yes, what do you want? What can I give you? But one who is not attracted, who is concerned, who is really worried, is Sukracharya, the teacher, the guru. You know, don't give to him. It's Lord Vishnu. He has come in device. What? To take everything away from you. And then Bali Maharaj said, well, you know, but you said that, you know, all, you know, fortune comes by worshipping Lord Vishnu. So now if he's coming, you know, why shouldn't I give? Now we find it's coming. And it's something like, even if he takes everything, what's the problem? But then Sukracharya, when once the Sukracharya curse, and you will lose everything, you will be lost. Actually, it was true to a certain degree. Of course, it all depends a little bit how we see. Is it good or is it bad? Is it, you know, something bad can be, so to say, good. Something good can turn out to be bad. I mean, there's no absolute, at least not in our realm, in that sense. In one sense, depend on how you see. Well, Bali Maharaj thought, oh, if it is Lord Vishnu and, you know, all fortune is coming by worshipping Lord Vishnu and asking, Echo, let's give. But in any case, he doesn't think. He thinks this is a little boy and he's beautiful, let's give. And then he also, what do you want? Can I please give? He says, okay, I. And then the little boy humbly asks for 3 steps of land. This is such a beautiful story. Just 3 steps of land. Then he said, oh, little boy, you have no experience of life. You don't understand what's your real self-interest. You know, I can give you villages and girls and wealth and everything. You know. Then, oh no, it's okay. If you're not sad on this, I like to. If you're not satisfied with 3 steps of land, you will never be satisfied, he says. And now the brahmacharya knows how much 3 steps of land is. Any brahmacharya knows. Well, it's basically as much land, well, as much floor you need to put out your sleeping bag. That is, I take it, maybe you have to take a little bit long steps, but you put up 3 steps. And then if you're satisfied with enough floor to put your sleeping bag, you will always have enough. If you're not satisfied with that, then we don't know. We may or may not be satisfied. It may never be fully enough. Of course, we may have our needs in various ways. So that may be so, but as on a principle. I mean, be satisfied with little. Or if we're satisfied what we, and that is another, if we're satisfied with what we have, we will always have enough. Because that is a challenge. Now that is our mind and our desires and our needs. Now we need a little bit bigger house, a little bit more this, a little bit more that. A little more money on the bank account. Well, maybe even a little bit more money on the bank account. Just to be safe, just to be on the safe side. Okay, so then we can worry what happens with the money on the bank account. And what happens with the money at all. Like in India last year, you know, in the autumn, there, all of a sudden you have collected all these 500 rupee notes and 1,000 rupee notes or whatever, and you put a big in a safe vault in your cellar or something, we are safe. And then, Hare Krishna, goodbye. And then it's too late. Then you're sitting with a worthless bunch of papers in your cellar. I was told now, when I came back, I was there in the autumn, just when I landed in New Delhi, changed some money, got a taxi, went to Vrindavan, could just pay with 1,000 rupee notes or something in a taxi. And then I took rest in the night And then next morning, or if it was the following morning, my good disciple and servant said, ahem, they've just cancelled all the 500 rupee notes. I was lucky. I made it to Vrindavan before it happened. But the point is, you know, who knows? You know, you can't. Okay, then let's store gold. And they say, you know, we will confiscate gold, all gold. And then I came back in February. I came back to India. And then, well, actually, some devotees, shopkeepers, said, well, it was good down. It was, they thought like that. But then at some places, actually, the rich people who has hoarded a lot of the 500 rupee notes was coming with truckloads, dumping the money in the rivers. And he goes, what to do with them, how to deal with it. Okay, so the point is, you can never really be safe. You can't really say, now I have a waterproof system here. Okay, the waterproof system is to chant Hare Krishna and depend on Krishna. And of course, if Krishna gives, we can take and say thank you. And if Krishna takes, then maybe we, okay, thank you. And be happy with what we have. And we're happy with what we have, we can get more. More happiness. And also, well, one devotee said once, because, you know, I want mercy. I want a whole full bucket mercy, you know. Small drops is not good enough. I'm going to wait for the big number. But then he said, but, you know, how do you get a bucket of water? Well, maybe if they're standing at that dripping, one drop at a time, just put the bucket there and wait a little bit, and it will be filled up. So that way you take the small drops of mercy or opportunities or whatever and say thank you and, you know, relish it and appreciate it. Then you will get more. And you will be happy, depending on Krishna. And there will be no anxiety. Okay, here is, in this pastime, what was it? Ratnamala. No, what was her name? Ratnamala. Okay, Ratnamala. Okay, I'm now good to you. Ratnamala, so she sees, but then this little bit dwarf Brahmana shows his real nature. And he says, okay, so you promised, now I take 3 steps of land. So how is it? First step, the whole planet Earth or whatever, Bhumandala, whatever. Second step, he covers the whole universe and even makes a hole in the universe. His toe makes a hole in the universe. That's at least one version. And that way the Ganges, the ocean, the water from the Karunadaksai ocean comes into the universe and purifies the universe. It's a sacred water already, but then it touches Vamandev's lotus feet, his toe, and that is even more sacred. And then it gradually comes down, and eventually it comes down on our Earth planet also. And then he says, you know, you nonsense, and then, I don't know what, there's a serpent coming there and catching Bali Maharaj and say, you haven't fulfilled your promise. You're a nonsense. You have to be punished. And that's also interesting. You know, remember that if you give a promise, you should keep it. See what happened. Because Bali Maharaj, yeah, he did end up keeping his promise. But it was very dramatic. That is, okay, you have Sita, Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman. Ram Nomi was just passing by here, so saying, they make this promises, they take these vows and, you know, make so life so complicated. You know, how much easier. Just one time Lord Ram could say, okay, I come back to Ayodhya, I left and my father died, well, or something, you know. But no, father said, I keep up his word. I keep up the honor of his word. So that is And well, that's another thing we can learn from these pastimes. You see, but that's in the Bhagavatam, you know, but now we have real life, maybe we think. In any case, that's a challenge for us. Yeah, because we can say, well, it's Kali Yuga, what can I do, Prabhu? Okay, so let's chant Hare Krishna then and be humbly chant the holy name of the Lord. Okay, so Bali Maharaj is there, and then Ratnamala becomes upset. How is now this little wise Lord Vishnu and is treating my brother in such a nasty way? So then her demon side comes out. She becomes the enemy of Lord Vishnu. Of course, Bali Maharaj, he's a devotee. That's amazing also. You know, you don't have to be born in India to be a devotee, you know. You can be born in a demon family. So we can say we are Milechas Yavanas here, taking birth in Milechas and Yavanas families in the West. But that is not a limitation for us to become devotees of Krishna and of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thanks, Krishna. Thanks, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, it doesn't mean that everyone who takes birth in the Yavana families becomes devotees. And it doesn't mean that anyone who takes birth in a pious Hindu family also has to become a devotee. You know, it's, in one sense, difficult to understand what is our desires, how does things really work. But Bali Maharaj, he then says, okay, but you have not, still my head is there. Please put your third step on my head. Then Bali Maharaj fully surrender. And then, of course, Vamadeva is satisfied, but Bali Maharaj has to go down to his home place. That is not such a big, bad one. It's kind of heavenly, hellish lower planet. Heavenly lower planets. Okay, then his sister later on takes birth to manifest as Putana, and then she has at one point, sometime she actually appreciated this little Brahmin boy, Lord Vishnu, and that kind of sticks with her, even though she turns out like this nasty witch, who is whatever. I think eating small kids and killing them and eating them and whatever. So then she comes to kill Krishna, but then there's something. At the same time, they say, "Oh, he's such a beautiful child," and there's some kind of motherly, some kind of motherly feeling appearing in this perverse heart. And then Krishna is so kind. He's so kind that he says, "Okay," he takes the mother's side. And of course, he purifies her by sucking out all her poison. And she is in great pain. It may be painful to be purified, let's say. So she's in great pain. And then she dies. But then she gets liberation. It's described that she enters into the spiritual world and in the capacity of a mother of Krishna. So that's Krishna. He has a full picture. that is his blessing. So we are blessed. We are here chanting Hare Krishna together in this beautiful temple, in this Kali Yuga. In this Kali Yuga, such a beautiful deity worship manifesting in Kali Yuga. And of course, so much chanting the holy name. And we even make some fire sacrifices. I don't know if they're as great as they were in the Treta Yuga, but we still some kind of fire sacrifices going on. Because the chanting the holy name is a real thing. And then meditation. We're doing our Gayatri mantras, maybe meditating on the holy name. Okay, that was when Prabhupada, as we now heard, and I was blessed to be there, but I was maybe not so fully there when the temple was open in Vrindavan 75. I was a little bit sick, to say it. But then there was this thing that we had the installation of the deities, and there he had these local brahmanas of the Bridge Brahmanas, and they were sitting there making the making their sacrifice and chanting the mantras and doing everything very packed. And it was fascinating to see. It was interesting, attractive to see. But then also there was a kirtan going on just in front of this. Was let more out in the courtyard. The sacrifice was going on and the kirtan was going on by the more close to the altar. And then, of course, we heard that, you know, for Prabhupada, that kirtan was a real thing. That was a real installation. And then the others. So, of course, that means, you know, sometimes is a deity installed or not? And say, well, it's not installed, someone say. But the point is, it might also just get installed by a kirtan. So that way you can install. So you make kirtan in front of the deity, it may become installed. It's not installed. So this argument. Well, you know, with chanting the holy name, you're offering bhogan thing, artik and thing, you know, is Krishna accepting it or not? If he's accepting it, well, then he's there. Then he's there. Is Krishna present in his holy name or not? That's a question. Yes, he's present. Of course, and depending on the purity of our chanting, we may differently perceive his presence. Okay, so Krishna can take the little bit good. Thanks, Krishna. Please take whatever little bit good desire is there, please take it and amplify it. And then he can take away the bad. He can, maybe have to go through some purification, rectification. But in any case, Krishna knows what he's doing. He knows what is to be taken away, what time and what place is the right place. Maybe a little bit like the dentist. Hopefully go to the dentist. He knows what tooth to pull out. Not make it. Okay, and it's maybe painful, but it's supposed to be good for the long term. Okay. Okay, so then, one thing here, so Lakshmi shows up, this girl Lakshmi shows up and attracts, and they were described here how there is a mutual attraction between Chaitanya, Nimai Pandit, the little boy, they mutual attraction, and it's kind of obvious to everyone, and with this, they're still kind of innocent, they're not grown up, they're not even teenagers, so they're like innocently, but they're attracted, and that is will be described as noticed, also notable. So that way Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets his first wife by the bank of the Ganges, so then we can say the Ganges fulfills all desires. Now it is mentioned here that she was in the Gaura Ganodes Deepika. Lakshmi was formerly Janaki, the wife of Lord Ramchandra, and Rukmini, the wife of Lord Krishna in Dwaraka. So here we have the eternal consort of the Lord taking on as an appropriate, appropriate shapes, not real shapes. So in case she comes and again meets the Lord. I think in Brahma Samhita is mentioned Krishna is there, and he's with his eternal consort, Srimati Radharani. Radharani is mentioned there. With her associates, is there with Krishna in the spiritual world. So Radharani is a spiritual counterpart of Krishna, you say. He is a pleasure potency. And then her sakis or friends or associates, they're there. And Krishna is there like that. Then here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have a description about Nityananda Tattva. And then you start with Baladev. Where there's a Krishna, and he expands at Baladev. Then Baladev expands. And there's a Shatavyuas and a second Shatavyuas, and then there is the Guna avatars, and then the expansion goes on. So in a similar way, the Lord's pleasure potency, as the Lord expands, he expands with him, as we can see here. And then Rukmini Devi, Rukmini Devi. Of course, then we have Radharani. That's another pastime. Krishna's in the early days. Of course, they always there together. But then he entered in a different... he's not in Vrindavan anymore. He's outside of Vrindavan. And one, but he doesn't really leave Vrindavan. So it is in his Vasudeva aspect, he's entering out of Vrindavan. And then we have Radharani or the pleasure potency expanding as Rukmini Devi. And then it's as Sita and then as Lakshmi here mentioned. So the Lord's pleasure potency or the potency of the Lord expands. The Lord expands and the potency expands to appropriately reciprocate. And there was maybe a point I want to get to there. The Lord expands. Of course, then we as devotees, okay, we as devotees want to serve the Lord and his, whatever, pleasure potency. We'll serve the pleasure potency in order to give pleasure to the Lord. Then we have the... the Lord, the earth, is also in one, in a way, an expansion of the energy of the Lord. And then it's stated, there's one verse for you who are Pujaris, may read it. let's see if we've got it right here. And then, okay, there's a verse for installing the asan. But there's another verse, before rising, you may pray to Mother Earth. And then it says like, Samudra Vasana Devi Parvata Stana Mandite Vishnu Patni Namastubhyam Padap Spasham Kamasvame. O Mother Earth, I offer my humble obeisances unto you, who are the wife of Lord Vishnu. In this verse, she is addressed as the wife of Lord Vishnu. And who is the wife of Lord Vishnu and the residence of the oceans, and who are decorated with mountains. Please forgive me for stepping upon you. So I say, it's a prayer to say in the morning when you wake up. But the interesting is that she is there addressed as the wife of Lord Vishnu. Because we have previously Bhumi, well, we know that she was pulled down by the demons. If we were Hiranyaksha, I think Hiranyaksha pulled her down into the nether regions of the universe. And then Lord Vishnu as Varadev comes and saves her. And he lifts her. And, you know, in one sense, he marries her. So there we have, at least there we have a clear connection between Mother Earth and Lord Vishnu in the form of Varadev, where they combined together. And as I remember, near Chennai. Now it's called Chennai. Yes, we have our temple there, and a little bit south of that, there is a temple of there's Varadev with Bhumi. They're married, and they're celebrated their marriage every day. It's a good place to go for the newly married people. Go there. So there is that connection. Now I thought of that because of my connection with the cows and the land. That's my part of my mandate I have. So therefore, I make this point. The earth as the wife of Lord Vishnu. So care for the earth and care for, and then there were the cows also, where they... In Krishna Lila, Krishna protects the cows. Indra comes and pours the rain, he lifts the Govardhan hill and he protects the cows and the bulls and everyone, the inhabitants. And then after that, when everything is over, Indra comes with his Airavata, and Airavata is giving Abhishek, and Indra is giving his prayers and saying forgiveness. But then is also the Surabhi cow coming into the picture, and she is also saying, thank you for protecting my descendants. So she, and the, your name, you're definitely, or either he gets the title Govinda there or has it before, but definitely she confirms, you are Govinda, you're the master of the cows, you're the friend of the cows. You're the master of the cows, you're the protector of the cows. So then we have Surabhi. She speaks about the cows and her descendants. So we want to be a good foot with the Surabhi, the wish-fulfilling Kamadhenu, you know, care for her descendants. And the Mother Earth, we may also care. Well, how can we care? Because we want to make big demonstrations, you know, for Mother saving the Earth. But the question is, can we save the Earth? The Earth didn't go to the humans at the beginning of the 10th Cantu. And by the way, she took the shape of a cow then also. She didn't go to the humans to ask, please save me from my difficulties. What can you humans do? You know, who do you think you are to save the Earth? In one sense. Now she went to Lord Brahma to ask for help. And Lord Brahma went to the shore of the Milky Ocean, and then he meditated and prayed to Lord Vishnu, and then Lord Vishnu gave him a message. Yes, I know. Gave the message. Yes, I know the situation. Don't worry. It's already planned. You demigods, you should take birth. You can take birth in the Yadu dynasty and help me in my pastime of straightening up the situation on the earth. So that is, in one sense, we can... So there may be reasons to be concerned about the earth, so we should pray. And of course, you can do something. You can take a piece of the earth, your small garden, small or big. Don't have to be too big, not bigger than you can take care of. You shouldn't be satisfied with 3 steps of land. Not to have to be very huge. 3 steps of land. Take 3 steps of land. Can be 3 times 3, you know, then. Start there. Take care of it. And then they say, Mother Earth don't like to be naked. That is the grower saying. The Earth don't like to be naked. So make sure she's nicely dressed. Always there's something growing there, flowers and this, and vegetables and whatever. And then that is the pleasure of the Earth to produce. And then we can take these gifts of the Earth and offer it to Radha Krishna or to Krishna. And then Krishna is satisfied, the earth is satisfied. And that way we have a cycle of sacrifice, of taking and giving. Because a sacrifice is an act of love. In a way of showing your love. Yes, Krishna, we love you. here is something we have grown for you. Please take. And then Krishna and is satisfied and the demigods are satisfied. And there... Prabhupada said, it was said, that something that is grown by yourself is 100 times more pleasing to the Lord. So I'm putting out the challenge, not a challenge. Some of you are already having your gardens, and if you don't have a small garden, 1 times 1 square meter, someone said, you can get your nails dirty. It's very healthy. You need B12 vitamins. He said if you just get dirt under your feet from the healthy ground, actually you get B12 vitamins that way also. So it's all auspicious. So in that way, to worship the Lord with the natural produce from the earth, and preferably as you can grow, the more you can grow yourself, then you can really say it's ecological, okay? Then you really know what's going on. You put in your endeavor and like that, and you offer it multiplies so many times. And the earth is not dead. Keep that in mind. She is alive in so many ways, and so on different levels. So then, once there was a question put to the Mother Earth, it's a mysterious situation. So the question was, isn't it terrible nowadays? There's all this industry and exploitation, and isn't it terrible times? And she said, no, it's a wonderful time. Because there's so many preachers travel around the earth. There's so much preaching going on. So then he thought, this is wonderful. So that's quite interesting. Interesting concept. You can take it as you like. But that's if there are sees it that way. So we should preach. But on the other hand, if the devotees have some nice gardens or the manor also, the more, as then I say, for the manor is, the more the gardens and all kind of growing and, you know, self-sufficient, you know, you have your cows and they give the milk, and this is all, is a great preaching, and then other, in different ways, in a natural way, preaching can expand. By doing simple, small things, that is pleasing to the earth and pleasing to the Lord. And you can bring things from the shops. It's okay. I think it's okay. But it, even more so is if you have grown it in your own garden. And we have here, I'm here, I was blessed. It was by coincidence where the delegation of kids, of our children from Almvik's Gård in Sweden came at the same time as me. It was coincidence. You maybe don't believe it, but in any case, we have some of the mothers here, and they have their gardens. And then with this garden, so if you cook a Sunday feast, then the tendency is, what's in my garden to bring to the temple? And then actually there's more vegetables than the temple can take care of. But that way, you know, there is a nice reciprocation. I mean, most householders have their garden. And you have to have your compost also. And in that way, you can serve the Lord and worship the Lord with things you've grown yourself. And that is things you can't buy for money. There's things. And Lakshmi, so we think Lakshmi means money. But here we can, in one sense, Lakshmi doesn't mean money, it means wealth. And the real wealth, if you actually have things you grow yourself, you know what's there. There's a different potency in it. Maybe just from a, what do you call, potency, hang the, what is that, when you have these tinctures, sorry, I'm getting old, homeopathy, okay, you increase the value or the potency of it actually by diluting it, but you're increasing the potency. So in the same way, we can increase the potency of our offerings by, you know, taking it from the beginning to the end, so to say. And Lakshmi will be very happy. Krishna's wife. Then real things, or more powerful things. How much trouble are we prepared to take to give Krishna the best? And then, of course, well, it goes so slow. And it's all cheap in the shop. Yes, that's Maya's trick. You get nice things, but they have much less potency. So in that way, Hare Krishna, nice to see you all. I wish you a good continuation in your life. And if you can grow some vegetables, if you who are grihasthas and have some garden, very good, do that. And chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Be truly powerful, and we can make a good preaching. Whatever happens, is it going to be World War or not, or whatever, is the euro going to collapse, or the Brexit, and if you have a garden, you grow things, you will always have something, you know. A piece of land doesn't devaluate. You can increase, you can bank in the land, you can increase the quantity by composting and replenishing it. Okay, so in that way, we also maybe our Krishna consciousness, our chanting, we should nourish, high end the potency, well, by maybe intensify our chanting or qualify our chanting and like that. So also, because the end of the story, the goal is to develop our Krishna consciousness. And at the time of death, happily chant Hare Krishna. And go back to the spiritual world. And pick some nice flowers and apples and fruits and offer them, bring it to Krishna. Okay, Hare Krishna.